Today, here and now, we are gathered in your presence, Lord. Help us to listen and hear your word, for it brings us life. Amen. Amen. Please sit. What is always nice to see around here are the sheep. There are sheep on the hillside and in the valleys. And at this time of year, there are all those adorable little lambs, so white compared with their mother, who often looks like that she needs a good shampoo and wash. Do I hear any of you go, "Ah, so sweet"? Well, if you're like that, you're not alone. A picture of little lambs is a screensaver on Carol's computer. Well, also, sheep can be pretty helpless. Last year, we found a bedraggled sheep standing in the backwater near our home, and we had to call the farmer because we didn't want to make matters worse. And this year, our daughter Catherine rescued a lamb as well, which couldn't get up the bank. Yes, shepherds are definitely needed. Yet sheep and shepherds are, I dare say, the almost defining portrait of Christ in most Protestant art, from the dramatic to the completely secular. We won't find a portrayal really of the crucifixion, however high Renaissance, gracing the walls of a Sunday school. No, it's the image of that fair-faced Christ holding a large shepherd's crook, surrounded either by adoring sheep or children of the world's population. And these children are often dressed in the most strange and peculiar national dress. And yet, this is the picture and depiction that we choose of Christ and recognize. And you can go and find an example of this in the valley if you look at the stained glass window in Medmenham, with the two Janet and John children and Jesus. Also, in fact, as Anglicans, we have an image we treasure as well of one of authority. The bishop, with his hands firmly clasped round his shepherd's crook, or crozier, is well known to us. Some of you will remember Bishop Allen on that very wet Palm Sunday morning, perhaps with all the wet, not quite the image of power and authority we know and expect. So if we turn now to that picture of the shepherd, I expect we all also might think of one man and his dog. I remember watching that and thinking now how clever the dog was. Somehow one saw the sheep and the dog, but not the shepherd. And also we should note that the sheep were driven and herded and not led by the shepherd. But the problem with all these images and pictures is that they're always fraught with some form of danger, and shepherds and sheep are no exception. Unless you're a vegetarian, it's likely that the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is not going to have a happy ending. So I won't dwell on that any further. Yet it leaves us with the question of what we do with imagery and symbolism. And that's a debate that's been going on in the church ever since its foundation, with endless tension between simplicity of worship and the drama of the high Baroque. Yes, you can go to one or two churches, the bling is out of this world. Or you can go to the plain white walls, and we have everything in between as well. So all those symbols, whatever we may choose, they have their drawbacks. But where would we be without them? Well, today's gospel points us to a far from perfect symbol. But despite that, I don't think any of us here could have any doubt about the illustration. Even in the hills of Palestine, the idea of spending a lot of time out on a hillside caring for a flock of sheep is enough, I expect, to give us all an image in our imagination of what we think that figure of the Good Shepherd should be like. We may know absolutely nothing about sheep farming, but we know what the image creates in our minds. And it's also an image where we actually can forget one thing about that. It's an image of a caring and generous God who's willing to stand on a hillside and gather the sheep, and who knows them by name. And I think that's important, so let me repeat it. It's an image of a caring and generous God who is willing to stand on a hillside and gather the sheep, and who knows each one of them by name. And so often, our image of God is completely the opposite of this. The God whose sole purpose is to be the guardian of acceptable society conduct or right living, judgmental and demanding rather than loving. But is our image of the shepherd all nice and clean and tidy? Or what is actually the reality? And the reality is, in fact, the complete opposite of acceptability. The shepherd is out on the hillside, unwashed and disregarded, poor and alone, outside society, not the image that we find in Sunday school or children's Bible picture, but actually rather unpleasant. Perhaps it's an image stripped of its romanticism, that actually truly represents the God we believe in. A God of humility, a God of self-giving, and most importantly, a God who not only mixes with, but becomes the outcast. This is a God left alone in a field and left alone on a cross. The God who in the untidiness and the rejection becomes the God of our humanity and the God of our earthliness in all its unpleasantness and inadequacy. The God who loves us by becoming one of us and sharing in our messy and untidy lives, whatever that messiness is. And if this still doesn't quite fit our image of the shepherd and God, we should remember the fact that the first people who were given the message of salvation and Jesus' birth, yes, that message went to a cold bunch of shepherds who were out on the hillside at night guarding the sheep. However unimportant they were, God chose them to hear the good news first. And so the idea of Jesus being like them, and thus God being like that too, spending the night and days leading us, not driving us, calling us by name, looking after us, and telling us the good news that we are loved and cared for, even when we wander and get lost. So we can rejoice at this, because we know from the reading that we heard from the Acts of the Apostles that when ordinary people got told the message, they believed, and many were in awe about what was happening. The stories told captivated people then, and it should do so now. For we, if we're just a while, we'll put away the technology and the wonders of this age and just look again at the simplicity of how our Christian story began. Yes, being cared for and being respected for what we are is important to us all. And those early Christians show us how it can be if we put others first and not ourselves. The God who loves us and shows us that love by standing on a hillside and knowing us by name. That's a good enough picture for me. And round here now there are plenty of sheep and lambs to remind us of it all too. Amen.